Hello and welcome to Messages at BBC. In these messages, you'll hear from professors, staff, guest speakers, as well as students. These messages were spoken and recorded on campus at Boise Bible College. If you'd like to check out Boise Bible College, please see our website at boisebible.edu.
Conditioning your mind. It's about focus. It's not about adding new info. So what I want to do is I'm going to have three pictures. We're going to play some word association. And you're going to tell me what you think of when you see these pictures. So Hunter, can you give us our first one? Awesome. Our very own Russell Grove. So let me hear. What do you think? All the time. Mountain Dew. Black shirts, all black clothing. Let's see what I thought of first. Oh, there it is. His very handy Mountain Dew. Zero sugar, of course. No better way to start the morning. Breakfast of champions. All right, let's go to our next one. The one and only Vance Russell. Greek. Regular tea, not unsweetened. You should be so proud. The Kansas City Chiefs. Enough said. And finally, our own Riker Bowl. The man. Arguably the handsomest man to ever walk through this college. What do you guys think of when you think of Riker? Handsome. What? Lucy? What do I think of? Steak. We love Riker's steak. So, what's the point? Why do we go to the lengths of getting pictures, talking about what we see? I want to show you, your mind is conditioned already. You see these people, you know what you know about them. It's already there. But you were just given a prompt. So let's talk about our minds. And don't worry, guys. You can come out of the classroom. No scholarly info today. And I know you're just dying to hear another Greek word study. But not today. Because conditioning your mind involves focus, not new information. But we can then focus our minds to live in a devoted way, living like Jesus by living devoted lives. Before we get to the section of the text, just let's cover a little bit of the information leading up. We're going to start in verse 13, but Peter writes to a scattered community suffering for their faith in Asia. He gives them a reminder they are preserved in Christ. And there's a reward waiting, but they have to endure before they see it. But they're on the right track. So let's read some of the text. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, I am holy. And you already know this. You already know to be sober-minded. You know to be holy. You know to be obedient. Now we get to focus. Because remember, conditioning your mind is about focus. Tune your brain. Prepare it. Prepare it for action. Prepare it to be sober, obedient, and holy. The concept is already there. It's been given to you. You know it. It's time for some action, and that's on you. In a way, Peter's reminder is to tell us to re-mind, to reset, refocus on the hope and the faith that we have in Jesus. Now we can move on to our next section of the text, verses 17 through 21. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and your hope are in God. More talk of knowledge here. The knowledge we are given should change our mindset. He's telling the scattered Christians live in reverent fear during their time in a different land, and he reminds them their redemption isn't objects, but something much better, the blood of Jesus. God's knowledge and God's provision are with them in their new homes, and they know that. They just have to focus. God's provision is so great that he would choose Christ before the creation of the world and wait until the perfect time to reveal him. This is why they came to belief in the first place. So their faith and hope should be in that knowledge, in that provision from God. Their focus should be there, not their sufferings. You should re-mind, because it's just the same for us. And as we get sent out for ministry, our internships, residencies, job offers, anything like it, we should live in reverent fear. We should focus, condition our minds toward Jesus. We already know what Christ did for us. We already know it. It's there. It's up here. Let's bring it here. Let's bring it here. Now, we get to condition our own minds. We move to a reminder of conduct toward one another now in our next section, 22 through 25. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for one another, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Notice there's a lot of implied language here. Peter implies the audience already purified themselves through obedience, which we saw earlier, back in verse 14. The product then, we have knowledge and we have obedience. We've focused our minds, we've reminded. The product is love. That's what we're going for. And they're again reminded of the eternal nature of their salvation and their rebirth with a quote from Isaiah 40. And it's clearly important to Peter that the knowledge of faith stays with his audience. And the focus on their faith should also stay. Actions of love are the intended outcome of this reminder. Peter's message for us is to be mindful. So why don't we take a fun trip and let's see how Eugene Peterson says this in The Message. Maybe get some clarity. So roll up your sleeves, get your head in the game, be totally ready to receive the gift that's coming when Jesus arrives. Don't lazily slip back into those old grooves of evil, doing just what you feel like doing. You didn't know any better then. You do now. As obedient children, let yourselves be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life, a life energetic and blazing with holiness. God said, I am holy. You be holy. You call out to God for help and he helps. He's a good father that way. A good, good father that way. But don't forget, he's also a responsible father and won't let you get away with sloppy living. Your life is a journey you must travel with a deep consciousness of God. It costs God plenty to get you out of that dead end, empty-headed life you grew up in. He paid with Christ's sacred blood, you know. He died like an unblemished sacrificial lamb. And this was no afterthought. Even though it was only lately, at the end of the ages become public knowledge. God always knew he was going to do this for you. It's because of this sacrifice Messiah, whom God then raised from the dead and glorified, that you trust God, that you know you have a future in God. Now that you've cleaned up your lives by following the truth, love one another as if your lives depended on it. Your new life is not like your old life. Your old birth came from mortal sperm. Your new birth comes from God's living word. Just think, a life conceived by God himself. That's why the prophet said, the old life is a grass life. Its beauty is short-lived as wildflowers. Grass dries up, flowers wilt. God's word goes on and on forever. This is the word that conceived the new life in you. Get ready to clean things up because of the faith you have. It's spring cleaning time. We get our application for this message in the first few verses of the next chapter, which we're also going to read in the message, and you'll see is the inspiration for the title. So clean house. Make a clean sweep of malice and pretense, envy and hurtful talk. You've had a taste of God. Now, like infants at the breast, drink deep God's pure kindness. Then you'll grow up mature and whole in God. The Message translation is so helpful for this because of its clarity. You know that Jesus saved you. You know that God provides for you. You know that your salvation is deeply rooted in eternity. If Paul were to say this, maybe he says, because of your salvation, you don't need to serve sin anymore. Because of your baptism, you're raised a new identity, which is Romans 6. It's time to clean house. It's time to put away sin. It starts with preparing your minds, reminding, being mindful, and rolling up your sleeves, as Eugene Peterson said it. This is the work that comes from focusing your faith and your hope on Jesus. I'll say confidently, I suck at cleaning. Despite trying my best, I can always do well when I clean, but I forget all the time. Ask my wife. For example, we have this corner of the kitchen counter. I never touch it. Every time I clean the kitchen, I've cleaned it wrong a billion times, so I just kind of quit trying. There it is, in all its glory. But I want to ask you, what's your corner? What have you tried a million times to clean up? What have you failed a million times to clean up? How many times have you promised God you would take care of it? God, I can fix it. God, if you just do this for me, I promise I'll take care of that thing. Be it pride, maybe worry, envy, or grief, or physical things, substances. Maybe it's pornography. If you've promised to fix it, you've approached it the wrong way. That's not how we clean up our messes. That's not how it works, guys. You're not mindful and rolling up your sleeves so that you can promise Jesus that you're going to do something. We do that so we can allow the master cleaner to come in and do his work. Again, it's spring cleaning time, but you're not the one cleaning out the corner. I've been there. I've tried to clean it out myself, promising Jesus a billion times, I'll fix it. I'll make it better. Never worked. Even in the face of a warning that my future ministries will fail, I've failed. Let Jesus handle it. Just as man cannot live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God, we don't thrive on our own work, but on that which we invite Jesus into. Invite him into your corner. focus your efforts on being intentional in relationship. Don't get stuck in deep cleaning. That's not your job. Don't just be with Jesus. Be with other people too. Focus on relationship instead of cleaning. Because if you focus on cleaning, there's always going to be another mess. If you focus on relationship, you get to love one another deeply. There's this psychological phenomenon. It's known as the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon. Sorry if that's a new word. I promised I wouldn't do that. Where you start to notice things more once you start to look for them. You ever look for a car? For weeks. Whether you shopped, you bought it, whatever. Or you heard somebody talk about it. Now all of a sudden, everybody who's driving on the road has that car. You see it everywhere. I've done it, Subarus. There's like 3 Imprezas on campus. Maybe it's a pair of shoes that you've been looking for, a hat, a shirt, I don't know. It's because your mind, it's tuned and it's focused to see it and point it out. Oh, there's the Tesla I was looking at. I'll never get one of those. I encourage you to start actively looking. Engage this phenomenon. Take advantage of it. I want you to start actively looking for 2 things. Number 1, identify areas of your life that Jesus can work in. Once you start looking for them, you'll find them. Trust me. Get in those corners. Figure out what needs to be clean. Then you can ask for it to be clean. And number 2, I want you to start thinking about people that are going to help you stay tuned on Jesus. You have an incredible privilege here at BBC. And that privilege is to your right and to your left. You may never have this again. Dozens of people around you. Dozens of people that only want you to succeed. They're accountability partners for you. And in fact, you get a mission today. And if you have a corner that needs cleaned, and you know what it is, and I'm sure all of us have something, find someone to hold you accountable. Someone you're okay with being tough on you. Because they're going to have to be. And I wouldn't just turn to faculty. They're a fantastic resource. They're great people. Look at the people around you. Turn to your friends. Find someone you can trust to really say anything to. Just like looking for cars or shoes or whatever it is, once you focus on finding an accountability partner, trust me, they're everywhere. They're just waiting for you to come talk to them. Your task is take out your phone, go to your notes page, write down the name of at least 1 person to hold you accountable. It's a time limit, right now. And if you can't think of one now, find one by dinner tonight. Jesus wants to help us get our corners cleaned and your issue resolved so that we don't have to worry about it anymore. It takes intentionality from you to get the ball rolling. Allow me to finish and to pray for us and our problems that need to be resolved. And after I stop, take 60 seconds silently to listen to the Lord for people to talk to, for people to hold you accountable. And I'll wrap it up. Lord, we love you. And we thank you for this place. We thank you for this privilege. And I thank you for the 4 years of BBC that I've gotten to experience. I pray that you will help all of us find our corner and you'll help all of us find our accountability. And we come to you silently, waiting to hear an answer. Who do you have for us? Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for the resource of people. Thank you for the sacrifice of your Son. And thank you for the love that you have for us. Will you allow us to focus and tune our minds into that? And would you allow us to love one another deeply by transforming our lives through obedience? Whatever people you have told us to hold accountable, to hold us accountable, let that come to light and let that bear fruit. And may it be by your work, not ours. We love you, Lord. It's in your name, by your Son, and through your Spirit that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. Boise Bible College exists to raise up leaders for the church, where we value scholarship, humility, innovation, and community. For more information about Boise Bible College, please see boisebible.edu.